الفاتحة. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الرحمن الرحيم، مالك يوم الدين، إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين، اهدنا الصراط المستقيم، صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين، سيما بقية الله في الأرضين ولعنة الله على أعدائهم أجمعين من العام إلى يوم الدين. صل على محمد وعلى محمد. أما بعد، قال الله تبارك وتعالى في كتاب المبين، أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها. From yesterday we started a discussion about a claim that religion is a burden. We analyzed that claim, and the summary is that there were different opinions. One of the opinion was that religion is a burden. The other one was that religion is something extra. And the third was the religion is for akhirah, for hereafter. We went to support team and found that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he announced on the very first day the charter of his movement, and that was قُلُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ تُفْلِهُ. From there we derived that the meaning of the religion is لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ, and the result is تُفْلِهُ. So in this equation, religion is La ilaha illallah, which means having a ilah, and automatically when you have a master, you have to obey the master. That's the meaning of religion. There is no other meaning of religion. Other things are the ahkam of Islam: namaz, roza, salat, khums, zakat. The actual meaning of the religion is La ilaha illallah, which means only ilah is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Please recite the salawat.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
So if someone has this religion, the result is tuflihu. And I said the tuflihu mean prosperity. And there it's not confined by anything. He didn't say that prosperity for this world or prosperity for only akhirah. That means we understand falah both for this world and for akhirah. When we move to the next step, we prove that religion is not a burden. Religion means you get prosperity, you get falah, in Farsi you get sa'adat. And that sa'adat is both for this world and for the hereafter. Then the claim changed, they say, no, it's not a burden, it's difficult. Then we went back to engineering manual. Over there we saw, لَا يُكَلِّفُ اللَّهُ نَفْسًا إِلَّا وُسْعَهَا, that Allah never imposes a duty more than your capabilities. Then we said, okay, this came from the engineering manual, but there is a big misconception, and we are after why this misconception happened. Why people believe in the designer say it's not difficult, it's according with your abilities, then why we have this belief that religion is still difficult? And we start analyzing the reason. One of the reasons was that I said the shaitan, what he does, he make that circle of our ability in our eye smaller. We think we do not have this ability. Like for example, a youth, he may think he doesn't have an ability, he's sleepy, he doesn't have a power to wake up and pray. So that was one of the reasons that shaitan somehow tell you that you do not have the ability to do this task. That was one reason. The second reason, I said that some people believe the life of this world is easier, and they compare the religion with the life, and this is religion is hard. That was the second problem. And there we said, we went back to the engineering manual and we saw that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, لَكَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي كَبَدْ. In reality, the life is hard. The life is hard. And now we'll continue our discussion from here onward. Please recite a salawat. So when we look at the life, whether it's the life of a religious person or a non-religious person, we see that the life has several failure. Everyone's life. Sometimes the failure is in the personal life. Sometimes the failure is in the family life. Sometimes there are other difficulties. Some of the difficulties are man-made, others are natural. We gave the philosophy of the natural difficulties. That in the nature there is difficulty because Allah wants to make strong. But the same thing, this butterfly, she goes through a process and become stronger. Please recite the salawat. Then there are diseases, pain, accidents, and so many other things in the life. Now let's compare a life of an atheist and a religious person. An atheist, when he faces all these difficulties, what he does? And that's, again I said, that's a so-called atheist. But otherwise we discuss, you can't find a person in this world who doesn't have a religion. Because religion we define as having an ilah and following that ilah. That atheist who calls himself atheist, he also has an ilah. And his ilah is his wishes. Anyway, this person, he's facing with the problems, accidents, failures, and it's not controllable. What he does? You notice that over here. Sometimes they go use drug. Sometimes they become alcoholic, drinking. Some, time they use music just to forget all this pain. They don't have anything to trust. So in the end, what they do, sometimes they do suicide. And you'll see the suicide rate in atheists is higher. Now let's see what the religious guy will do. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, please recite the salawat. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم ومن يتق الله يجعل له مخرجا. Allah said, if you feel a difficulty in your life and you basically do a use a taqwa ilahi, Allah will make a way out of the difficulty for you. That's Allah's promise. Then Allah, in the next verse, it says, وَمَنْ يَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ فَهُوَ حَسْبُهُ. The one who trusts in Allah, He will be sufficient for you. So now, a religious guy has a way to resolve or come out of this difficulty. Suppose someone get the accident, someone got disease and some other problem in the life. What he does, you will notice that all the concept of religion is there to help people's life. One of the concept is tawakkul, like he mentioned in this ayah. What's the tawakkul mean? Tawakkul means to delegate, to trust in, reliance. Let's see, I'll give you an example. Please recite the salawat. Like for example, let's see, you know this cup. Kids, your exam. You think, what's the weight of this cup is normally? What you think? Anyone here?
99.9999.
No, just a minute, some, like, let's see, 50 grams?
No, 5 grams.
No, it's more than 5 grams.
10 grams.
Let's say 100 grams, right? Right? Alright, now help me. If I hold this cup for a minute, what's going to happen? Nothing. If I hold it just for a minute and put it over here. Nothing. So anything happen?
No.
If I hold it for an hour, what's going to happen? And my hand can become numb. Okay, what about if I hold it for one day? What's going to happen?
You're
going to
fall down.
Yeah. You would say, you'll get like a strong pain in your hand. Maybe your hand will be paralyzed. Oh, what's happened? The weight, did the weight change? It's the same weight. It was 100 gram. I was holding it for one day. It's still 100 gram. What should I do?
Just
put it down. What do you say? Put it down. Put it down. Alright? Now let's see. Someone has a problem. Someone faces a problem. For example, he's working somewhere and he has a fight with his boss or someone. He holds that problem in his mind for a minute. Nothing. Nothing happened. He holds this problem in his mind for an hour. He starts getting headache. He holds it for 2-3 days, his life is start becoming miserable. What the tawakkul mean? You're having a problem, you rely on someone, you put it somewhere, you trust on Allah, that he will help you and you move forward. See, the problem an atheist and a religious guys they had, one of them have no one to trust. The other one, he says, fine, I got an accident, fine, all those things, but then at the same time, he remember, who is my Lord? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Who can give me health? He is the one. Who will provide me? He is the one. Who gives me life? He is the one. What you do? You put your trust on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what's the Allah said? وَمَنْ يَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ فَهُوَ حَسْبُهُ. Whoever put his trust on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he is sufficient for him. Please recite the salawat. Now what did we find? We were thinking that religion was a burden or it is difficult. We find that religion is there to help you. You say, no, that was only tawakkul. What about the other thing? Alright, let's see. Please recite the salawat. Recite another salawat, please. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Ista'inu bis-sabri was-salah. What's the ista'inu mean? Anyone? Ista'inu bis-sabri was-salah. I'anat ista'inu. What's that mean? Seek help. Seek help. Seek assistance. With what? Bis-sabr wa salat. When someone need assistance, when someone need help. Guys, I ask you, you seek help from someone. When do you seek help?
When they call help.
When they are in difficulty, they are in danger. Right? So mu'minin, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knew the life is tough. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, When your life is in a difficult situation, what you do? Ista'inu bis-sabri was-salat. Right? There is a clear indication that this sabr and salat is there to help us. Alright, now someone has to help me. How can namaz, salat can help me? Alright.
You talk to Allah and then you can.
But honestly, I need to know how the namaz can help me. Anyone? Honestly, I need a logic argument. Yes, logical argument. Okay. What else?
You can do dua.
You can do dua. Please help the elder ones, elder kids. I need their help. How can, is that true? Or is it just like a statement? How can namaz can help you? Yes. You're going to communicate with Allah and ask for the help. It's a good answer, but I need maybe like more logical. Yes. It brings to closer to Allah. All of them are very good answer, but I am looking for something else. I need like, because I'm in difficulty. Allah said, go and do pray. There is some secret. Alright, we'll try to find out. We'll try to find out. Huh? Brother said that it prevents you from haram. Like it says, As-salatu tanha anil fahsha'i wal munkar. That's a good answer too. But then I'm looking more than that.
Gives you hope.
It will give you hope. All of these are good answers. But it's not going to give, it's not giving me my answer. I need to know what's the benefit of ibadat. How? Yes. It gives you ajr in the akhirah. But we decided that we said that this world we have to get help. Right? Right now, here. Here we need help. It disconnects you from the world. But then we have a pain here. We need to solve the life here. So we need to find out. Let's go. See, whenever we have more than one opinion, what's our method? What do we do? We can't solve the problem here. Which one is the right? We're gonna go where? وَإِن تَنَعْزَعْتُمْ فَرُدُّوهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ. Please recite a salawat. Now let's go to the support team. Please recite the salawat again. Have you heard the name Fuzail bin Ayaz? Fuzail. This riwayat, he asked this question from Imam Jafar al-Sadiq. He asked from Imam, what's the secret of Abudiyat? Abudiyat means all namaz, zakat and everything. Now who is this person? First we need to find out, because we need to find out. There is always, Imam has a criteria. It depends who asks question from Imam. You see, if there is a simple person, maybe a farmer, he gave him a simple answer. If there is a zahid, arif, he will give him an answer which is more appropriate with this person. Let's find out who Fuzail is. Fuzail bin Ayaz once was a thief. He was a robber. He used to rob caravans. One day, he narrates by himself that I was climbing on a wall to rob a caravan. Now Fuzail is an Arab Muslim, but he has a bad habit to rob the caravan. He is climbing on a wall right at that moment. At the night, someone is reciting Quran. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ألم يعلم الذين آمنوا أن تخشع قلوبهم لذكر الله meaning ألم يعلم الذين آمنوا has not the time arrived ألم يعلم has not the time arrived لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا the one who believes أَن تَقْشَعَ قُلُوبُهُمْ لِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ that their hearts should engage in the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He heard this call. See, this is a very moving ayah. Allah is asking, has the time not arrived that your qalb, that your heart can become soft with the zikr khuda? Someone was reciting, he was reciting with beautiful tone. And this was the time he was planning to jump from the wall, and he heard this ayah. He felt that there is Allah and he's calling him, he's talking with him. Allah is telling Fuzail, Fuzail, has the time not arrived for you that your heart becomes soft? And Fuzail here, he said, yes, the time has arrived. But it's I found the time, he cried. He went up on the wall as a thief. He came out as an arif. He changed himself, completely changed himself. He repented from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he said himself, like, seems like he said that, I was fearing that there was a call from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how long you will stray stone hearted? How long you will stay ignorant and heedless? How long this heart will stay unaware? How long you will keep lying and deceiving? This, brothers and sisters, this call is for us too. This call was not for Fuzail only. Right now, there is a call. There is a call from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for all of us. And the call is again the same. If we just pay attention, we can hear right now, right at this moment. If we hear right at this moment, we may be like Rasul-e-Turk, maybe like Najjar, maybe like Fuzail. Look, Fuzail was a robber, was a thief. We are not thief. But the call is there. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala right now, he's saying, أَلَمْ يَعْنِ لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَن تَخْشَعَ قُلُوبُهُمْ لِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ. We have to listen. We have to understand. Because some other places, if you are not going to listen, on the other places in Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, some of the heart, they are like a stone. Even then Allah said, no, bust that stone. Because the stones are the one, when the water fell on them, it broke the stones. But some of our hearts, some of us, mu'mineen, our hearts are so qasiy al-qalb that we do not understand. So we have to take lesson from Fuzail. See, I have to do shikwa here with myself. I go with different centers and I see there are difference between, there is ikhtilaf, there is difference between mu'mineen all over the world. Sometimes there is a problem within family, sometimes there is a problem between children and parents. You know why? Because we are not considering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are not paying attention on His call. Sometimes we have difference in the community. Someone's religion is mafati, other one's religion is tawziul masail, someone else's religion is just the NGO services. We are divided. Sometimes we are dividing based on Khui and Khomeini, we used to divide on that, sometimes on Khamenei and Sistani, sometimes based on our culture. I'm from this country, this person is from other country, sometimes based on our nationality, sometimes based on our languages, we are divided. But our enemies, they are not divided. Look at this time, all the Wahhabis, they are united against Shia. All over the world, look over there, look in Afghanistan, Pakistan, Iraq, every day Iraq, there is a bomb blast. They are killing innocent people. All of these Gulf states, they are combined, the Wahhabis, they are making their collective effort against Shias. Look at Syria, how many Mu'mineen they killed. Look at the situation in Lebanon right now. They are trying their effort to topple the peace over there, to destroy the peace over there. And we, whenever we go in all the center, we find there is a struggle between mu'mineen. Why? Because we are not listening to the call of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And sometime I said that, like in Pakistan and India, we saw that some people, they have this hand, they cook, the move, they basically fight with each other. That's what the shaitan is like us. Shaitan is having two mu'mineen fight with each other all the time. Why we are not listening to the call of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Anyway, this was just like a shikwa for myself, because I have to listen this call. I have to right now listen this call from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The call is, and we have to decide right now, from when we come, when we need to go, we need to go outside from the center, we have to be fuzail. أَلَمْ يَعْنِ لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَن تَخْشَعَ قُلُوبُهُمْ لِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ. That's the call. Please recite the salawat. So our question was, what's the benefit? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, seek help whenever you have a difficulty with sabr and namaz. And we said, how can we get help from namaz? Then Fuzail help us. Fuzail become an arif. He changed his life. When he changed his life, now he's praying everywhere. But then he has this same question in his mind, how to get help from namaz. He went to Imam Jafar Sadiq and asked, what's the benefit of abudiyat? Now, Imam is giving here an answer which we need to understand. Imam said, Ya Fuzail, Al-Abudiyyatu Jawharatun Kulhuha Al-Rabubiyya. Ya Fuzail, Abudiyat, all those ibadat, Jawharatun, the nucleus of these ibadat, the nucleus, the center of these ibadat. Then Imam didn't stop here. Imam says, Kul hoha, the essence of the ibadat. Imam said, Ar-Rabubiyya. This is the answer. Now we understand this statement first. Again, as I said, this is Imam made this statement for Fuzail. Now Fuzail is an arif. Imam said, again, Al-Abudiyyatu Jawharatun, the nucleus of abudiyat. Then Imam said, Kulhuha, the essence of abudiyat, Ar-Rabubiyya. Who knows what's the meaning of Rabubiyya? He says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Rabb. What's the meaning of Rabubiyya? Rabubiyya, Rabb. And Lord. Rab, Lord. Rabubiyya, Lordship. What the Lord has? Control. The Lord has control. Rab. Rab has authority. Imam alayhi salam is saying, Al-Abubiyya to Jawharatun kulhuha ar-rabubiyya. When you do abudiyat, Allah will make you Lord. Allah will make you Lord. He will give you control. He will give you authority. He will give you authority. See, how this control is going to help us? We know this. We know this in our life, every day. Alhamdulillah, I am speaking with like an educated community. You know, most of you are like have a good position over here. You remember when you were in a school, where you had several colleagues. But you are the one who was successful. Why? Why you are successful? Because you had a control. Okay, how? Let me give you an example. someone he's successful if he got, like, for example, he has to study, right? His desires said, I have to watch cartoon, I have to play a video game. Who's asking this fun? I told you that human has like two face, two dimension. One of the dimension is kuwe shahwiyat, the animalistic desires. The animalistic desire. That animalistic desire says, let's have fun. And then your intellectual soul says, no, in order to progress, I have to control my desire. So what you do? You turn off the TV, you go do your math, you go do your homework. If you do that, you are successful in the end. The other people, they don't do it, they're not successful. What you have, they don't have. You have control, they don't have a control. See, this control. You have authority in one aspect over your kuwe shahwaniye. Your intellectual soul here controls the desire and you become successful. Right? That's one of the aspect. That's only one aspect in the in education. Since you have belief that this education will make me prosperous, will give me falah, will give me sa'adat, you have this belief. What you did, your human soul controlled the animalistic soul and says, this is not the time for fun. This is the time to go study. And what's happened in the end? You're successful. So you, at this time, you were controlling, the intellectual soul was controlling the animalistic soul. The intellectual soul was the Rabb, has an authority, has a control over that. Now what this Rabbubiyat is going to do is going to give you a complete control. That's why, like the brother said, As-salatu tanha anil fahsha'i wal munkar. This somehow, and my discussion is not finished yet. I will continue this tomorrow. I will tell you, I will give a scenario and we'll see how this abubiyat is giving control. It's giving control to our soul. So we can control this other part, the other dimension of our body, of our soul. Please recite the salawat.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
So, right now, we conclude at least this discussion that when we said that religion is a burden, we said, no, it's not a burden, it's for prosperity. Again, this part is remaining. We have to discuss how abubiyat is giving rububiyat. We will discuss this tomorrow. But here, at least we conclude that argument. We say, someone says that religion is hard, and we normally believe it. It's because of three reasons. One of the reason is that we do not trust on our abilities. We think the circle of our ability is smaller. Whereas Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, La yukallifu Allahu nafsan illa wus'aha. I only impose a duty on you which is bearable for you. So every time we see a task and we feel we can do it, we'll see, we have to seek help from Allah Ta'ala subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we have to do it. We have to trust on Allah. The second one was that this life has a problem and religion is there to help us. But we think the life is easier and the religion is hard. The third one, which was that I told you yesterday, that you basically go cost analyze. You basically have this, you see the cost, you see the benefit, and that's how you decide something. Now when we find out that religion, Abubiyat is going to give you Rabubiyat, tomorrow, then you will understand and you will see that this third point was also a misconception. Please recite the salawat. Now, one of the, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not only put Abubiyat, Ibadat, but Tawassul, he also put like Aimma alayhi salam, Imams and Prophets to help us. Now, I can assure you one thing. For these few years I spent with ulama, I understand one thing very clearly. Any time, any moment has a true intention and he go to tawassul with Imam, his hajat will be fulfilled. Now people will say, we call Imam several times, our hajat never got fulfilled. I want to answer that part today. Aima alayhi salam said, there are only three conditions. If there is a true moment and he loves us and he does his responsibilities and he asks from us, there are only three things possible. Number one, we are going to fulfill his hajat. Number one. That's easier. Number two, we will delay it. We're not going to give immediately what you're asking, but we will give you better than what you're asking. Number third, because we know, maybe sometime we know what you ask for is not good for you. So what we do, we will give you the reward, but not in this world, in hereafter. So any dua you said, it's not unheard. It's there, saved in your account. Whatever you ask from Imam, they're there to help you. If not in this world, hereafter. Please recite the salawat. Please, let me tell you the story, one story. One of the alim in Najaf, he had hajat with Amirul Mu'mini. He was doing dua, crying, Salat, Psalm, Sadaqah, Tawassul, going Karbala, walking, and his hajat is still not fulfilled. One day, he's sitting in front of the Zari of Amirul Mu'mineen, and he saw that one of the Arab Baddu, he came with a sick child. He came over there in front of the Zari of Amirul Mu'mineen, put the child over there and said, Ya Amirul Mu'mineen, my child is sick. You have to make him healthy. I'll move around here three times. You make it healthy, otherwise I'm gone. I'm not going to come back. And now this alim, he's sitting over there watching. He says, Ya Ali, here's number one. He came, Zari, and started moving around the Zari. He said, Ya Ali, it's one. Then he came, Ya Ali, it's second. My second turn. Ya Ali, it's a third turn. This alim was watching, and this third turn, on this child, stand up.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
This alim said, I'm an alim, I'm in Hauzat, I'm steward of Amir al-Mu'mineen, I'm asking for the hajat, nothing is happening. He cried. He did shikwa with Amir al-Mu'mineen. Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, we're your students. We're in the Hauzat, we're doing all services. We're obeying you. But nothing for us. He cried, cried, cried and sleep. There come Amir al-Mu'mineen in his dream. When Amir al-Mu'mineen came, he did the same shikwa. Complain. Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen. We are your students. We do all our effort. We have a hard life. Look, we ask you, no matter how long we are asking these things. We did all this tawassul and nothing, no result. And this baddu, he came and gave him. What's our fault? Amir al-Mu'mineen said, you know what? What's the story? We know this guy, if you're not going to give him, he will leave us. That's why we give him. So he will stay with us. He will stay with us. He will stay our Shia. But you know, with you, when you Mu'mineen cries, we like you. When you come to our door, we love you. We enjoy when you cry. We enjoy when you do tawassul with us. We feel that you are ours. That's why sometimes we delay. Sometimes we delay because we want you to come. You come near us. When we delay, it's not because we don't like you. It's not kam lutfi. We love you. That's why we do that. Please recite salawat. Sallallahu alayka ya sayyidi wa maula ya Aba Abdullah. Sallallahu alayka ya ibn Rasulullah. Ya laytana kunna ma'akum sadati فنفوز فوزا عظيما. Abbas, can you hear the call of thirst? Can you hear the call for you, Abbas? The cry for you, Abbas. Look at Sakina by the tent. Look at the lips of my Aswar. Get them some water, O Abbas. Quench their thirst, O Abbas. Brother and sister, let's go to Karbala. Marhum Qazi, he saw in Mukashafe that Imam Hussain is Rahmatul Wasi'ah and Hazrat Abul Fadl al-Abbas is a door for Rahmul Wasi'ah. So if we have to go to Karbala, we ask permission. He's Babul Hawaij. He's the door of Hawaij. So if we want to take izn, we want to take permission, we have to take permission from him. We have to say, Adkhul ya Babul Fadl. Today we mourn the standard bearer of Hussein's army. Today we mourn that individual whose name is Babul Hawaij. Imagine yourself sitting by the Haraman today. Just imagine. Please go over there. Imagine you're sitting over there and facing the dome of Hazrat Abbas. You know, in Karbala, whenever the times were strained, the Karwan of Hussein would like to look at him. Today we mourn the son of Ummul Baneen. Tonight we mourn for our Abbas. You know, one of the most outstanding quality of Abbas was his wafa, his loyalty. Never was he step ahead of Hussein, nor step behind him. It is said that on the ninth day of Karbala, he brought the shimmy, that cursed soul, entered the Karbala and he brought two letters. One was for Umar ibn Sa'ad, asking to send the head of Imam Hussein to Ubaidullah. The other letter pertained to Abbas. Now this Mal'un, seek a permission for Umar Sa'ad and come near Hussein's tent. He yelled, "Where are the son of my sister, Abdullah, Jafar, Abbas and Usman?" Ummul Baneen was not his sister, but the two were from the same tribe. So Imam said, Hazrat Abbas didn't reply anything. He was in fact angry. Why this Mal'un is calling him? But Imam Hussein said, "Answer him, though he may be a corrupt person." So they said to Shimr, Hazrat Abbas came out and said to Shimr, "What do you want?" Shimr said, "O son of my sister, you're all safe. They don't get yourself killed, then don't get yourself killed with your brother Hussein. And obey Amir al-Mu'mineen Yazid, the son of Muawiyah." These were the words of Shimr. So Abbas said to him, "May your hand be cursed. Chop, Shimr, and curse me on the promise of the safety that you have brought. O enemy of Allah, do you want us to leave our brother and our leader Hussein, son of Fatima? Do you want us to enter in the obedience of Cursed One, the son of Cursed One?" So Shem returned to his army full of anger. As about the day of Ashura was a long and difficult day. For Hussein and the family of Hussein, the thirst in the camp of Hussein was severe. It said when Ali Akbar went to the battlefield, he fought bravely, and you know, he killed many, many enemies. But after a while, he came back because he was very thirsty. Now imagine the state of 4-year-old Sakina. No, rather imagine the state of Asma. Just for a second imagine the state of Imam Hussein when these children come to him asking him for water. What should he say to them? On that day, when almost everyone had been martyred, Abbas came to Hussein. He said, "Brother, now let Abbas go to the battlefield. Let this warrior flee." Hussein said to Abbas, "Oh Abbas, but you are my alamdar. Ya fi anta sahibu liwai." But Abbas said, "Tabza ka sabri wa sikhtu min al hayat wa uridu an atlubu fari min haulai munafiqin." Oh Hussein, my chest feel constrained and I'm sustained with the life. So Hussein said to Abbas, "Then do us one last favor, O Abbas. فَأَطْلُبُ لِهَوْلَاءِ الْأَطْفَالِ قَلِيلًا مِنَ الْمَاءِ." "Seek a little bit of water for these children, O Abbas." Hazrat Abbas went and spoke to the army of Yazid. He warned them. He counseled them, but it was of no benefit. He turned to the Imam. He informed them that the enemy would not give him a drop of water. At that moment, he heard the cries of the children coming from the tent. They were crying, "Al-Atash! Al-Atash! Al-Atash!" At this time, Abbas cannot bear that. He mounted on his horse, he took the water skin and headed towards Fraat. Now he's doing this right, he's saying, "I do not fear death when it call out to me." And then he said, "Know me, I'm Abbas. I'm known as Safi." No one dared to stop Abbas. Those who tried to stop him were quickly put to the sword. Abbas came to the river. He filled the water skin with water. After that, people saw he picked up some water in his hand. And then people saw he threw that water back. "As long as my master is thirsty, as long as his children are thirsty, Abbas will not taste water." "O soul," he said to himself, "O soul, after Hussein, life is full of disgrace. After Hussein, there is no point of living." And so he headed back to the camp, but the enemy had sworn to deny water to the son of Fatima. So they waited for Abbas behind the palm tree. As he passed, a cursed soldier struck his right arm. Abbas took the sword in his left arm and said, "By Allah, even if you sever my right arm, I will not cease to defend my religion and my master, and to defend my truthful Imam." Then son of the pure and trustworthy Prophet, when the Sahib was continuing his journey, at this time Abbas remembered Sakina's cries. He remembered the lips of Asra. At that time another first enemy seized that arm. "Ya Abbas," he cried out, "O
at this time, out of their head that they have chopped off my left arm. But Abbas would not yield. Abbas was heading towards the camp. Abbas did not give up until an arrow struck the water skin. Now the hope of Abbas was dying. The water started to pour out. Now he turned his horse back to the other side. An arrow came, hit his heart. He said, "My salam to you, brother. Ya Siyad Abdullah, alayka minni as-salam." Imam rushed to Abbas. He saw him covered in blood. He saw him covered in sand. He wept for his brother. He said, Imam said, "Abbas, my back is now broken and my thoughts have lessened." Oh Abbas, Mubin, Ajrukumullah, Ajrukumullah, just two last minutes. You know why people call him Babul Hawaij? My home heart Sheikh Muhammad Jafar Shustari used to see the Mukashifa. He said, "Do you know why between all Shahada'i Karbala, only Abul Fadl al-Abbas is called Babul Hawaij? You know, the door of Hawaij." He said, "All the Shahada'i Karbala, although they were thirsty, but none of them got shaheed with thirst. You know, everyone, before his soul departed, Prophet used to come with a cup of water of Qasr and have them drink before Shahadat. But when Prophet brought water for Abbas, Abbas did not drink water. He said, 'Aba, I cannot drink this, because children are still crying, Al-Atash, Al-Atash. I promised them for water, but I was not able to bring water for them. How can I drink water while they are thirsty?" Now Imam took the flag, he's going back towards the tent. The flag is coming, but Abbas is not coming. Ala lanatullahi ala al-qawm al-zalimeen, wa say'alamu al-lazina zalamu, ayyamun qalibin yanqalibu. Matamu Hussain.
Ay ahli harami, rasipadar bayamad. Ya Allah, ya Rabbi, Rasulullah, ya Allah, ya Allah, ya Allah.